here's a story from The World.
A Russian-brokered peace deal has stopped the fighting in Nagorno-Karabakh. This is the region in the Caucasus Mountains between Armenia and Azerbaijan, where there's been a long simmering conflict for decades. The latest round of hostilities forced thousands of people from their homes. But as Andrew Connolly reports from the region, some of those people are starting to get back to normal lives.
This cramped NGO office in central Yerevan is a hive of activity. Workers pack and stack boxes with essential food, medicine and clothes. It's all destined for some of the tens of thousands of people from in and around Nagorno-Karabakh who've ended up here in Armenia's capital. Grigor Yeritsyan is president of the group called Armenian Progressive Youth. He says that even though thousands have started returning to the contested region since an armistice was signed on November the 10th, many more won't due to the ongoing disruption to education, healthcare and other services.
For many, when they left, their house was still there, but maybe it's not there anymore. We also had instances when kids are facing some psychological problems and also have some panic attacks and diseases related to constant fear. I don't think these families would think to go back in the near future.
Because of the trauma of the explosions and having to run away and everything.
Because of all the trauma they have been exposed to.
During the fighting this fall, the mountaintop city of Shushi in Nagorno-Karabakh was captured by Azerbaijan. This represents one of the most painful losses for Armenia. Grigor's colleagues are delivering supplies here to Larisa Melkumyan and her husband. They're sheltering in a wooden house outside the capital, Yerevan. Larisa was a music teacher in Shushi and recounts her escape.
We stayed in the basement for 4 days and then fled at night as the road was being bombed. The owner said we could stay here for a while for free, but we don't know how long that will last.
As we speak, Russian military planes pass overhead. According to the Russia-brokered peace agreement, Moscow will deploy its troops in Nagorno-Karabakh to prevent clashes between Armenia and Azerbaijan. Melkumyan continues, while her husband stares into the distance behind her.
My sons-in-law and husband were fighting. They saw terrible things, and they're still in shock. But the past is for forgetting, and we should live in the future. We miss our Shushi, but we can't get it back.
On a recent morning in the main market of Stepanakert, the de facto capital of Nagorno-Karabakh, there are signs of life starting to get back to normal. Chickens rattle their cages, a butcher is selling cow's heads, and crates of pomegranates, peppers and potatoes line the street. During the war, a rocket attack destroyed a clothes store here. It's little more than a burnt shell with shards of glass and wood and ripped fabric spilling out onto the street. Next door, Rima Arushanyan is doing a brisk trade in fresh eggs and homemade vodka. She says that several hundred people are returning to the city every day, and business is picking up.
Thank God nobody was here at the time when the missile hit. The owner is still on the front line, and now his business is gone. But at least nobody died, and everything that is destroyed can be rebuilt.
Stepanakert was shelled throughout the war. Electricity and gas supplies are still interrupted, but most of the city is intact. Up on the front lines is a different story. Leviton Danielian plucks some juicy persimmons from the trees in his garden and washes them under the tap. They still have a layer of dust from when a missile exploded outside the pensioner's house. That was the same night the peace agreement was signed. They hit us with everything they had, he says. All night long they shelled the whole neighborhood, and thankfully everyone on this street is okay. It wasn't always this way. Under the Soviet Union, Armenians and Azerbaijanis lived right alongside each other. But Danielian says it wasn't perfect, even then. The Soviet government didn't let anyone do anything nationalistic, he says. Thanks to that, we live together. But not really as friends, more like dogs and cats. As we speak, I spot a few bright new bricks in Levitan's garden wall. And I ask if he's starting to rebuild already. He says, Azerbaijan shelled my house in the 90s. When the war ended in 1994, I asked the Armenian government for some assistance. Years later, they finally decided to give me some building supplies. Those new bricks, he tells me, they arrived here on September 26, the day before the Second War. Armenian troops were ordered to leave several regions surrounding Nagorno-Karabakh last month. Now, the enclave's sole connection to Armenia is a single, long, dusty road that weaves through mountains and plunging gorges. Until a new one is built, Armenians and Azerbaijanis will have to share this road under the watchful eye of Russian peacekeepers. They've set up numerous checkpoints along the road.
Здравствуйте.
Здравствуйте. Куда едете?
В Ереван.
Вдвоем?
Да, вдвоем.
Какая машина?
Lincoln Navigator.
All along this mountain pass are pieces of missiles and shreds of military uniforms. The battle for Shushi was one of the war's bloodiest. According to the latest government figures, both Armenia and Azerbaijan lost around 2,500 soldiers in just 44 days of fighting. Azerbaijan was the clear military winner, but people living here will now have to rely on Russia to keep the peace. For the world, Andrew Connolly, Nagorno-Karabakh. From PRX.